Today is Thursday, November 10th, and this is Celtics Beat on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics. I'm Adam Kaufman. Episode 486, featuring NBC Sports Boston's Abby Chin, is powered by betonline.ag. Go to betonline.ag today. Use the promo code CLNS50 for a 50% bonus on your first deposit. What's up, everyone? Welcome in a new edition of Celtics Beat. Adam, Evan, we're always here dancing our way on in. Abby Chin, NBC Sports Boston. Abby, I didn't actually look to see the last time that you were on the show. It hasn't been forever ago, but it's been a little while. Certainly the first time this year. It's good to see you.
Is it the first time this year?
Well, I mean, the season's only a few weeks underway.
That's true. Didn't we speak in the off season?
Oh, I'm sure. Okay. Listen, don't confuse the amount that you're on the show versus the amount that we text, obviously. Then it probably feels like yesterday.
I just feel like since the pandemic, what is time? I have no idea when things run together. And then the fact that the last season went till June, right? So then we're already in the summertime, sure. And it really only has been a few months. So
not much of an off season, but that's how you'd pick it, right? Like that's what you want. That's why you're in this.
Absolutely. And it was enough of an off season for me. I'm home with the kids all summer, so ready to get back out there.
Like for the record, it went June 6th. Abby was last on June 6th.
Ah. June 6th. Wow. So was that during the finals?
No, it was I believe at the it's literally right at the end of the finals, I think.
Because Eastern Conference Finals. Okay.
Before that, we had Bulpet on. And the title of the episode is "What Edges Did the Celtics Have Over the Warriors?" So that sounds like a finals preview.
We knew who the matchup was going
to
be.
Yeah. So because right before that is the one I did with our buddy Seth, where I drank scotch the whole episode.
Sure. You guys went for like 2 hours while I was at Disney World.
Yeah. Well, that was this game 7 preview, and I was a complete.
Yeah. So oh my gosh. Okay. So yeah.
I remember I was sitting in my hotel room, everybody's asleep after the fireworks, and I pulled it up on YouTube and I'm just watching you guys drinking and going, wondering if like the world was about to end, basically.
It was a rough time. Game 7s aren't fun unless your team's not in them.
And we had to deal with two of them.
Yeah.
And like intense Game 7s. I remember. So the last time we were here, it was after Game 7 in Miami, after Al Horford. The Celtics did make it to the finals, and Al Horford collapsed right in front of me on the floor, and that was highly emotional.
I remember that. I was so pumped for Al just because that guy's worked so hard. I mean, he won a title with Florida, two titles with Florida, but
he hates it. He knows what it feels like.
I know. To get back there has taken so long for Al, and it's like out of all the guys – and again, this year too, specifically, it's like – out of all the guys, like they got to do this for Al because there's just not many seasons like this left for Al in the tank. And they just, because he's been such a steady, consistent, great player throughout his whole career. And that we've gotten to know him a little bit, you know, since he's been at Celtic now twice here. Hard not to root for the guy. It's really hard. He's just consummate professional. So
he is not aging. I mean, 36 years old right now, and he is a force out there. I mean, even last night too, you could just see the leadership when the Pistons were going on a run early, and he just starts directing traffic. And he's like, you go over there, you go there. We're fine. Just stick with the game plan. Be solid. Let's go. Look, what are we doing? Stop messing around.
You haven't been on since June 6th. Man, did you hear Ime's out?
What?
I know. I hate to break news for you. It's crazy.
Wow. A lot has happened.
Right. Yeah. Lots gone down since last month.
It does feel like that didn't happen, you know, like that was a really rough little stretch, maybe 3 to 5 days. We had the press conference and then media day came, and it's been smooth sailing ever since then.
It has been nice. Other, you know, I think so. It's funny because the show that we did last week with Washburn, and aside from talking about the Fantasy Hoops League that hopefully you will jump in next year, we won't do it this time around because we spent so much time last week, but there was a lot of sort of just breaking down all the elements of Ime to the Nets. And now, of course, that's not happening. You know, they've an about face gone with Jacques Vaughn, which the about face is not totally surprising, but going with Jacques Vaughn, if you're going to do the about face, is not at all surprising. One of the good guys in the NBA certainly earned the opportunity. The Nets have played better, maybe not so coincidentally with him and without Kyrie Irving, which is a whole other thing. But Ime is now sort of back to not being the Celtics' problem per se, but back being, you know, on their payroll for future years until they work out this mutual parting and they eventually do go their separate ways and he lands somewhere else. But the one sort of Ime aspect of things that I do want to ask you about before we, you know, talk about all the things that have gone well and gone right with this team since Joe has taken over is when everything came down just before training camp and those weird few days that you alluded to, how surprised, how taken aback were you by everything being, you know, obviously there was a lot of attention on the female members of the organization and female, you know, people that media and the like that are so closely associated with the organization like yourself. It had to be interesting from a different angle for you than it was for a lot of us.
Yes. It's been a while since I thought about this actually. I was shocked, absolutely shocked. I had nothing but a professional, positive relationship with Ime and never had any questions about anything in his behavior or anything like that. But I do. So I remember Wednesday, it was a Wednesday night at around 10:30, the Woj tweet broke and I'm watching TV with my husband and I was like, what is this? And I started texting. I texted Forsberg. I texted a bunch of people. Forsberg was passed out. He didn't text me back till the next morning, by the way. Oh, sorry to blow up your spot, Forsberg. And then trying to figure out what it was. And then I had no idea. And then the Shams tweet drops and just the way that was worded, that it was someone within the organization. And so immediately on Twitter, my name started popping up. And the reality is I do not work for the organization. And it was a little horrifying. And then I can't imagine what people in the organization were going through. Amanda Flugrad and, I mean, Allison Feaster, all of that with their pictures and their names out there and everywhere. I feel like two things. So I went to the next morning, I'd been awake. I'm just on my phone constantly. But the next morning I take my kids to school and I was talking to our next door neighbor who works with nonprofits. She's not in the sports world at all. And I tried to explain to her the situation and she's like, oh, that's so crazy. But also, you know, she just didn't. And I was like, no, they think that I'm involved. And she's like, what? Why would someone do that? Really? And because she was just like, why are you so involved in this? Why are you so upset? And she's like, oh no, that's not right. So it was kind of interesting to get an outside perspective. And then, the time just went on and you're just waiting for them to say something or waiting for some sort of response from the team themselves. And nothing came that whole day. And I just remember being tied to my phone. Like, what is happening? But I think, you know, obviously for legal reasons, they couldn't do anything, say anything. They were working out what was going to happen. And in negotiations and all of that all day. The other thing that I was going to say is I feel like, unfortunately, I'm pretty used to that. You know, I'm used to trolls on social media. It is not completely foreign for someone to assume that I am sleeping with a member of the staff, a player or something like that. I mean, no matter how untrue it is, that's not unheard of for people to say those things and assume those things or just think those things. And so it didn't affect me that much, the rumors or any my name out there at all. I felt bad for the people in the organization that the women who, you know, you just pull up the directory and you're like going down the list of everyone who's listed on as a member of the Celtics organization. And those are, you know, people who have been anonymous in the past and have no reason for their name to be dragged out there. And so I felt really bad for them. It was just one of those really ugly days on social media. And I'm glad that it's over for now. it feels like it's over. I don't know how you ever come back from that. But yes, sadly, I think that I was not that affected by it because, you know, I'm used to dealing with those kinds of things. But also, I don't like that. I think a casual fan, if they're just kind of like, oh, hey, what happened to Ime? Oh, he got, you know, he's suspended for an inappropriate relationship. And I just feel like the casual fan will just assume like, oh, it's probably the sideline reporter, you know, like,
right,
obviously. And so I feel like that will be out there forever.
Let's talk about basketball. Let's talk about the fun stuff, obviously, because I think the Ime distraction is going to become less so over the course of time. But what you do have is an increasingly strong buy-in in Joe Mazzulla. You're certainly closer to him than Evan and I are. You know, you get an opportunity to chat with him and interview him, and he just seems like such a good, you know, solid guy, great, you know, maybe more engaging in terms of the personality, more affable, more self-deprecating, sort of very Brad Stevens-like versus, you know, Ime, who put on kind of a strong front. And, you know, I'm sure a perfectly nice guy, but at least in the media didn't come across as extremely personable. You know what I mean? It was kind of all Ime business all the time.
Ime has a sense of humor and it's funny and can be funny.
Yeah. I just don't think that maybe we saw it as much. I'm not doubting it's there, but it maybe wasn't as obvious as someone like Joe.
I will say, so I covered Joe when I covered the Summer League for NBA TV a couple of years ago when he was the head coach of the Summer League team. And then obviously traveling with the team. So I knew him a little bit. But I was blown away, you guys, on media day talking to him and just how not overwhelmed he was. He was not intimidated by the situation. He was excited about the opportunity, ready for this moment. And just so confident and sure in everything that he was doing. And from my first conversation with him at media day, I was like, oh, they're going to be fine. This is like Brad, when Brad said that, when he felt like they had someone in the organization, or he knew immediately they had someone in the organization, at that press conference, after I talked to Joe, I understood and believed him. And it has been like that ever since. And he is just, obviously the basketball stuff is there. He has the basketball knowledge, the mind for the game, the relationships that he has built with the players over his time in Boston is there. But yes, Adam, like you said, he is funny and he is self-deprecating and he is okay with us. I mean, I did an entire hit when we were in New York about his gum and chewing his gum. And I asked him about it before. I'm like, I want to talk about your gum. Can you tell me about it? And the thing about him though, is that he doesn't want the story to be about him. He wants the spotlight to shine on his players. And you hear that in every press interaction that we have. He wants the light. He wants the story to be about the players, but he is part of that story. And so, but I did ask him about the gum and he said, yeah, you know, I've always chewed gum. I've always chewed gum this ferociously. It's just that no one cared before because I was on the back of the bench. No one could see me. What amazes me, he only uses two pieces.
Well, so I was just going to say, while I was describing him before, if I were to add one more adjective to describe Joe Mazzulla, liar, because there's no chance. There is no way in hell that man is chewing one piece of gum per half. And like, as you put it, as ferociously as he does, it loses flavor after 6 seconds, Abby.
I agree. And that I go through a piece of gum like every 20 minutes, but he said he has one per half. He adds a second. So he's got two in his mouth for the second half. Uh-huh. The gum is Pure, P-U-R is the brand. Cause I guess he said Malcolm Brogdon turned him onto it cause it doesn't have any aspartame, which I've been meaning to Google that and I just haven't. So maybe because it's like some pure gum, maybe it hangs onto its flavor better. I don't know. But that's what he told me. But that's what I mean. And Joe is just, he's fine with us talking about that because he doesn't want the attention. He doesn't want people to think that he doesn't. I mean, you know, everyone's got an ego, but he doesn't have this huge ego where he wants to be at the forefront of what's happening.
So, yeah. One of the things that I noticed the other day with Jalen, I think it was yesterday, a quote came out about how, you know, some days he doesn't want to talk to anybody. You know, everybody has those days where you feel a little introverted and you got maybe some stuff going on in your head, you don't want to talk about it. And Mazzulla was like, no, we're going to talk about this. And then he has a conversation with the coach and he ends up feeling way better about that. How do you feel the dynamic so far? Again, part of being a head coach is calling the right plays and getting the right defense set up and knowing when to call timeouts. But another part of it is kind of like nurturing a little bit. And Joe, it's interesting because, again, I remember watching Joe Mazzulla play college basketball, and he is 2 years older than me, and he's in charge of grown men. Al Horford, obviously older than him, in terms of like nurturing guys and checking in on guys where their mental health is, or their physical health is. How is he managing that particular part of it so far, Abby, in your estimation?
As far as I can tell, great. One of the things that I really appreciate about Joe is his humility. And that's one of the things he said the first day was that I know that I don't know everything and I am not afraid to ask. I want to have these conversations. I want you to tell me, give me your input. I want us to work together as a true team. But you bring up Jaylen Brown and mentioning the previous relationships that he has. So Joe last year took it upon himself to bring in Jaylen, going through some film sessions and just kind of going through places, showing, pointing out places where he feels like he can improve, where defenses are attacking him or where he's sliding on defense. And at Joe's suggestion, he said, Jaylen, why don't we bring other people in, your teammates you're on the floor with, let's go through. And Joe prepared every piece of film that they looked at and really helped Jaylen to see the game in a different way. And he's the one who told us those stories on Media Day. So those relationships are there. And Joe has proven himself to these guys, I think, repeatedly. I mean, and Chris Forsberg has a story that when Derek White arrived after the trade deadline, Ime just said, go talk to Joe. He'll get you all set up on our defense. And it was Joe who indoctrinated Derek in the, you know, intricate defense that the Celtics are running that is not easy to do. And so there has been a lot of trust in Joe, I think, from the beginning. And there's no question in my mind, the players believe in him. And I feel like over the last few games, he's had a different command. One, you know, he's clearly not afraid to make changes, moving Grant Williams into the starting lineup because for defensive purposes. I mean, and Grant, while he has not been an offensive juggernaut, defensively checking Ja Morant and then Cade Cunningham was not good yesterday. Mm-hmm. Or whatever day, what day of the week?
Yeah, yesterday. Sunday. He started Sunday like night. 0 for yeah. 9 or something yeah, like that. Right. Yeah.
Cade Cunningham looked like a shell of himself. I went to Pistons shoot around yesterday, excited to talk about Cade Cunningham, and then he did nothing in the game, so I had to change my entire report because I couldn't talk about how good of a season he's having. But so, you know, he's not afraid to make adjustments. He's not afraid to make changes. He's not afraid to, and that was Ime's strength, right, is holding these guys accountable, calling them out when it's necessary. And he did that last night at halftime, called those guys to task for letting the Pistons run all over, well, pull down rebounds all over them. And so, and then you saw a completely different team, particularly a different Jason Tatum in the second half. So while he doesn't admonish the players publicly like Ime did, I do believe he's holding them accountable in the locker room. And I believe Jaylen when he says, we believe in Joe.
So Jaylen, one of his post-game quotes that I thought was really interesting was, and I just, I enjoy listening to him talk, but one of the things that I thought was interesting was that he said through his first, you know, 11 games of the season now, and the team is winning, they're 8-3, but he's not all that happy, all that satisfied with his personal play. And I look at it and I see a guy who's averaging better than 25 points a game, hauling down almost 7 rebounds. He's shooting, what, 46% from the field. I know the 3-point percentage is a little bit lower than he would like, the free throw percentage. I'm old enough to remember when Jaylen Brown couldn't hit a free throw. He's shooting like 85-86%, whatever it is, from the free throw line.
One for the tech last night.
Yeah, I know. Look, nobody's perfect, Abby. Yeah, we know that as well as anybody on this show, that nobody's perfect. But he's you know, he's having a really good year, an all-star caliber year. I don't know. I mean, maybe he could even get into the all-NBA, not first team, but all-NBA conversation at some point in time, depending on how things progress. But, and you know, you'll still have people point out, well, he's still turning the ball over 3 times a game or whatever. But overall, and maybe that's what Jaylen looks at, because I see a guy who's had a really strong season to this point. So what did you take away from those comments and sort of where do you think he can take his game to a place where he is happy?
I was standing right next to him, and I agree with you. I was a little taken aback by those comments. He did finish it by saying, but we're winning, so everything's fine. He said, you know, I'm not unhappy with my role, but it is a different role. And I think he is trying to find ways to be aggressive, and whatever he's doing, it's working, right? Like you said, I mean, he's had how many games where he scored 30 points, 30 plus. Mm-hmm. And Joe did, I mean, last night drew up a play for Jalen, and it's not like Joe has completely gone away from Jalen. When he feels the game needs it, he knows where to turn. And so I think it's something to keep an eye on for sure. The fact that Jalen wanted to bring that up unprovoked. But clearly, I mean, they have the number one rated offense in the league, put up another 128 points last night. Jalen is averaging, like you said, near his career highs. And so I think that it is, to me, it feels like the offense under Joe is different. Talking to guys last night, there's been so much emphasis on spacing and running to your spots and getting to be in the right places at the right time, that it's, they're still developing those habits is my point. And so I think that the offense somehow is only going to get better from here. And then that maybe will open up even more opportunities for Jalen, but there's no question right now. It's very point guard heavy. And that's what they talked about last night. And Marcus Smart and Malcolm Brogdon have the ball in their hands a lot, and it's looked good so far. I think that because they have so much versatility and they can play so many different ways, I do think there will be opportunities for Jalen. I think that Joe is just trying to build these habits now so then he can build off of them going forward.
An offense, by the way, that is a freaking juggernaut 11 games into the year. First in the NBA. Yeah. First in the NBA, about almost 120 offensive efficiency or offensive rating right now, which is just, it's incredible to watch. Real quick, want to shout out our good friends, our sponsors, our partners, betonline.ag. As we know, basketball is a few weeks back at this point. BetOnline, your top spot, your number one source for all your sports betting needs throughout the year. It's not limited to basketball either. You can look at any sport and find a line that you like, or team matchup info or player info. NFL, obviously, we're about halfway through the year. Baseball, you can look at futures. Hockey is, underway, and the Bruins have been exceptional, tops in the Eastern Conference, one of the best in the NHL at this point in time. There's golf, there's MMA, there's boxing, you name it. There's so much there. Live betting, free contests, live scores, giveaways all season long through BetOnline. You could look at, Evan always likes to send me some of his favorite odds. MVP, for instance, Giannis is the favorite right now in the NBA at plus 275. That's skinny stiff. How about Jason Tatum plus 550? He's right there. If you want to place the bet, a little cash on Jason Tatum, he's third behind Giannis and Luka, and Tatum is certainly on that mission right now. The way he has been playing, averaging 31 points per game and shooting he's hitting half his shots. He's awesome so far. We'll get into him in a second. Coach of the year. How about this? Will Hardy of the should be tanking Utah Jazz, formerly of the Celtics staff, plus 400. He is the favorite. JB Bickerstaff. Remember his dad? Plus 500 for JB. Joe Mazzulla, plus 800. Third best odds. Not in the East. Overall, third best odds, Joe Mazzulla, to win Coach of the Year. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events. I mentioned them. There are a bunch to choose from. There's so much on the site, betonline.ag. We recommend you check it out. Head to betonline.ag, join, and receive your 50% welcome bonus. The promo code is CLNS50. Go ahead, check it out, receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Let's, Abby, go back to the MVP conversation a little bit and talk about Jason Tatum.
Before we dive into that, I do want to just get both of your opinions on something, because I'm just curious.
Sure.
So the Celtics have the best offense in the NBA through 11 games. It's super fun to watch. The question for both of you is, does it feel gimmicky? Because like sometimes you go back to those Rockets, Harden teams, and like they had this unbelievable offense, but it was really gimmicky. It was like Harden does everything. It's threes and layups, and that's it. It doesn't feel like something that will hold up in the playoffs, although they got very, very close with Chris Paul and Harden facing what was probably the best team we've ever seen between the Durant and Durant and Curry Warriors. There we go. Does this offense feel gimmicky, or does it feel like a legitimate, like equal opportunity offense here? Because I'm trying to it kind of vacillates between both, in my opinion.
So I think, and I'll let Abby go, I'll be quick. I think that between the two, I think it's less gimmicky and more Splash Brothers, you know, in a weird way, your Splash Brothers are Sam Houser and Grant Williams. But, you know, I think that you've got a deep, versatile offense with this team that to me doesn't feel gimmicky at all. But Abby, by all means.
No, I completely agree. I don't think it feels gimmicky in that. I mean, the only similarities, I think, Jason Tatum getting to the line at the rate that he's getting to. But he's
long time coming
with all the new rules. Yeah. That we're talking about. And like I was just talking about, I think that with the versatility, they can play so many different ways that there's so much room to grow for this offense. Like this is just the beginning. They're establishing the foundations for what is to come. And so I think that I'm excited about the offense. I didn't realize how much more could be tapped out of that. But when you look at, they have two of the best players in the league in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And then what you can do around that, not to mention adding in the Malcolm Brogdon piece. And we're still waiting for an update on that hamstring. I'm sure we won't get one until pregame on Friday. But I think that there's so much more to unlock. And like we were just talking about, Jaylen Brown being a primary ball handler, running some pick and rolls himself and that kind of stuff. I think that the only thing that gives me pause when you're talking about that, Evan, is that a lot of they want to play with so much pace and get out in transition. I want to see them more in the half court and what they can do in those kinds of sets. But, you know, the cutting, there's been more cutting, there's been delayed cutting, and there's even more stuff that you can do with that. So, no, I'm nothing but excited about the offense.
I think last night, too, was a really good sort of example of what we're talking about in terms of like the first half. Of course, by the end, Jason Tatum was still the leading scorer. He met his season average with 31 points and he got hot. He had that ridiculous start to the third quarter that was just mesmerizing on both ends of the floor. I mean, as strong a like 5-minute period as he's probably had in his entire career against Detroit there. But let's remember that at halftime, they were still up reasonably big, whatever the score was on the Pistons, who are a bad team, I realize, but they're up, you know, they've got a sizable lead.
Yeah,
they've got a sizable lead, though, and Tatum really didn't do much in the first half. It was Jaylen leading the way. Hauser was electric off the bench. You know, Brogdon, before he got hurt, was playing really well. Smart's racking up the assists again. So you were seeing the balance, the versatility that we're talking about. Like, more often than not, because he is your best player and a top five player in the NBA, at least most people would probably put him right there right now. Jason Tatum is going to be the guy. But it was sort of telling that, all right, well, maybe at least some of these lesser than teams, he doesn't always have to be. And I think that's noteworthy.
I also think it's really, I mean, if we want to get into the Jason Tatum conversation, we need to talk about what he's doing on the defensive end and the effort that he is playing, the buy-in that he has, and how that then trickles down to everyone else on the team. And it makes such a huge difference. I mean, you know, the kind of athlete he is, the fact that he's applying and the way that he applies himself on that end of the floor changes the game as well. And so that's been really cool and fun to watch. And I know that the defense has not been a strength of this team just yet, but I think that that is indicative of how far they have to grow. And that's also exciting. And then Rob,
climbing, by the way.
We haven't talked about Rob Williams on my shirt.
Twist. Yeah, I didn't even notice that. That's a good
thing. Shirt.
Yes, Dr. Rob in New York before the Knicks game. And that's from the
I thought it was a Scary Terry t-shirt at first.
Oh,
I
no. Rob Williams.
That's amazing. How many of those are in circulation?
I don't know,
not
but
enough.
I got one from, Celtics PR man. Legend? Legend.
Yeah, legend.
Absolutely. Legend.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. but we haven't even talked about Rob and just what getting Rob back and having that sort of safety net on the back line. I mean, that's what is going to bring this Celtics defense back to what it was the season ago. So I feel like right now that side of the ball, they're just treading water and Jason Tatum doing as much as he can.
Well, we missed an opportunity just to get off topic for 1 second. We missed an opportunity to rehash one of my favorite quotes, maybe in sports history. And that is Rob Williams talking about his favorite holiday movies, saying that his favorite holiday movie is any Michael Myers movie. It's the funniest quote I think I've ever heard in my entire life. And I'm so upset that we didn't get to like, because whoever runs that particular part of like Southern Spring in-game entertainment is amazing. And I want more, I want more like Rob deep dive, like Halloween Michael Myers stuff, like for next season. Cause it's just,
I'll that is, keep that in mind. Yeah. If we talk to him around Christmas time, I'll ask.
It's remind super, me of that. Evan. It's one of my favorite, the video, somebody took a video of it on their phone, and every time they start laughing because they know what's coming, and every time it gets me every time. I love Rob so much.
In all of those, there's one that just makes you go, and then...
Rob crushed it on that one, no question. Sorry, just off topic, my fault.
No,
I miss Rob, that's all, I miss the guy. Yeah. He had the Balenciaga hat on last game, I thought it was great. Good to see him out there.
Marcus with it's been a good year for him, I think, overall, but in particular these last few games where, you know, we're so accustomed to talking about the, you know, hashtag winning plays and all the effort and defensive player of the year, all of that stuff. But Marcus really last year for the first time under Ime, in terms of any sort of consistent way, thrust into a true point guard role, you know, where it's not just always playing point guard, or he's, you know, off ball, or he's at the two, or what, like he was truly entrusted to be this team's point guard post Kyrie Irving, post Kemba Walker. You're the guy, Marcus. You've been waiting for the opportunity very openly. It's yours. Run with it. You look at these last few games and the assist to turnover ratio, 34-4 these last three games. And it's not going to go like that forever. Clearly, it's not going to be, you know, 11-1, 11-2 every single day. But I think we've got a lot of these in our future as well. I think he's made a transition in his game, not just as a distributor, obviously, and was putting on a passing clinic the other night. Some of those highlights were incredible. If you haven't seen the reel floating around that the NBA Twitter, NBA.com, whatever put out, but the protection of the basketball after the team, Smart included, was so careless throughout that playoff run, especially in the finals last year, just that renewed message of protecting the ball and what it's done for his game in particular.
There was, you're right, the last few games, I think, has been, we've seen a different Marcus. And I think that there's no question to start the season, he was searching for something in this offense and couldn't find his shot. He was typical Marcus, as we know, impacting the game in other ways defensively and with his hustle. But I think that pretty recently, and I asked Joe this last night, Joe challenged him to be the distributor, take control, run this offense, take the keys and go. And he clearly received that message. And we know Marcus has that basketball IQ. He's been able to make, I mean, he makes amazing passes all the time. So I feel like he has just kind of honed in on that for these last handful of games. And then you're seeing the results. And so once he, and I feel like I keep going back to this, but so once he gets that habit in, and then that becomes the baseline, right? Those 11 to 12 assists become the baseline every night. And then you can build off of that. And then he gets really comfortable in that role. And then the threes start falling. And then who knows what's going to happen. So I do think it's something that Joe challenged him to focus on. He, you know, rightly or not, the way I was thinking about it is kind of that, and Adam, you know, the Berenstain Bears book about manners, bad habits. And brother and sister, like, oh, we're going to, Mama Bear's going to be so upset because we're going to go over the top with our manners. And they're just like, please and thank you everywhere. And so eventually you just like build back into just being polite in general, you know. You go over the top for a week and then you fall back to being in general. And so I think that that's kind of where Marcus is at with that part of his game. And I think that's a good thing. And this is going to help him and help the team going forward.
Can I just tell you, more parent talk here, Abby? Mm-hmm. I have searched, I have done a deep dive trying to find Berenstain Bears just streaming somewhere because it was such a great on show. YouTube. It's hard to find like
quality is not good.
I want to go to Prime or I want to go to Netflix or one of those whatever Nick stations. And I want to, because the kids have seen a couple, they like the books. I want more Berenstain Bears in my life.
Yes. I, Sorry, Evan. We
good show.
We went to a, before the pandemic, and went to a live Berenstain Bears performance at the Natick Mall.
I had no idea that was a thing.
And I left something to be desired. So I'm a little happy for the bus. Thanks, grateful for the bus.
I feel like the I don't know. There are a lot of good kid shows. There are a lot of terrible ones too. Bluey is probably the closest thing that you have to a Berenstain Bears right now.
That was my question. What is the Bluey situation in either household? Because apparently that's a really. I don't know anything about it. I just know it's popular. So
you should put it on. It's fun for adults too, Evan.
And is they it? Have accents, so it's always just nice to listen to.
They're Australian, right? Is that what they're?
Yeah.
No, it's good.
My son thinks Bluey is hilarious. He's 3 and a half. So it's like just become a thing in our house. And it cracks him up so much. It's so fun.
Yeah, that's a good one. You got to try that. What is it? Big City Greens on Disney Plus is another one you can look up if you haven't. All right. How about, I think I'm stealing this from Celtics blog. Maybe I saw this on Twitter. I'm taking it from somewhere. We can, you know, move over Zappy Fever and Hello Hauser Mania. Yeah. Sam Hauser has just been, better by the day, obviously, as he gets entrusted to have a bigger role. He's now averaging 8 points in about 15 minutes a game. He is a clear part of this rotation. He's getting an opportunity. He's hitting, I was looking it up, 58% of his shots, 53% from 3-point range. His assist to turnover ratio, going back to Marcus Smart, Hauser's assist to turnover ratio is 6, which is best on the team. He has been, within his role, like he's not going to be an all-star or something, but within his role, he has been exceptional. And I go back to, you know, like Brad used to say this all the time, like be a star in your role. Sam Hauser is a star in his role right now for this team, and it's making a difference.
Absolutely. I go back to Joe Mazzulla last night. They were asking, what has Sam done to show you, for you to trust him? And he said, make all of his shots. Yeah, that's it. That's what he's done. That's been the key, because I mean, the reality is up until this point, he was a liability on defense, and teams are still, even the Pistons last night, are targeting him whenever he's on the floor. So he needs to be able to, at the very least, hold his own and guard his yard enough for the help to come behind him. And then as long as you can do that and then make your shots, yes, you're going to get more playing time. I think what Sam is showing us, and Grant as well, is just how good the shooting is on this team right now, something that the Celtics have been searching for years, but then also how good it is across the league. I mean, offenses are up across the league. That's something we didn't talk about with this defense. I think that it's just the scoring, the shot making, the decision making is just on another level, it feels like, so far this season. And so Sam, no question, adds to that his basketball IQ. And the players love him. Like, the players are really – Jason Tatum a week ago or so was talking about how Sam, just to his development, you can see it out there. And he dribbled into a blitz and off of a DHO dribble handoff, and then pulled back and then passed it into Luke Kornet, who drew a foul. And in Jason's words, he said he told Sam, now you're playing basketball. And so it is, his game is developing. He's hitting his shots. And I think it's also really shows you going from year one to year two, and then what you can do once you know that you are going to have regular playing time and you're not going to have that hook come for you after you miss that first shot. So all of that wrapped into one, but it sure is fun to watch. And I am trying to make the human torch happen. I think I'm alone in that, but
we can help. We can try and help.
I'm on Twitter all the time, so that's what I'm doing.
I mean, celebrate the
six. Microwave. I like torch.
Yeah,
he's fire.
I mean, the timing is good. You know, Chris Evans was recently named the People Magazine Sexiest Man of the Year. You know, we can sort of
leave
it all in together, right?
House doesn't look like Chris Evans like at all.
Yeah.
No, but he was the human torch.
Yeah, but you're really trying too hard, I think.
Fantastic Four, the Fabulous Four?
No, Fantastic Four. Yeah, the original, the first, like, bust Fantastic.
It's really bad. It's really bad. Comically.
Jessica Alba. It wasn't that bad, Evan, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Really, not good enough to catch on like the rest of the Marvel universe.
No, there's a reason they're redoing it a third time with a totally different cast again. But
I don't know. Hauser does need some sort of like nickname. that has to do with, like, I don't know. He just reminds
me. Just something as, like, stupid and simple as, like, Hauser Matic.
I don't know, something. But he reminds me of Steve Novak. And, like, people might not even know who that is. But Steve Novak for the Knicks to late aughts was an absolute flamethrower before, like, the Steph Curry generation of we're all taking 8 threes a game. Like, he was shooting. I looked it up last night just to check. 1 year, I think it was 08-09 or 09-10, 47% from three on 5 attempts a game. Like, that's a huge, valuable piece. And having that on your offense makes everybody's life easier. I mean, just the amount of space they're able to play with. Like, it's no coincidence that the lineup of him and Brogdon and Tatum and two other bench guys is killing people. Like, going into last night, I think Hauser had the highest plus minus on the team. And I would assume it's probably held steady, although I don't know. It's not a coincidence. Like, it's like, I think Scal mentioned it a few games ago when Boston, I don't remember the exact game because everything now is just compiling into one thing, but he was mentioning how well the unit of Tatum plus Brogdon plus the bench was playing. And a big part of that is because Sam Hauser offensively, you have to check him. You can't just, it's not like Tatum covering Brandon Clark the other night where he just can cover Brandon Clark, but leave him over there and kind of play help defense as the rover as much as you want. If you rove defense away from Sam Hauser, he's going to hit three shots in a row that all of a sudden you either are in a close game, but now it's a comfortable lead for Boston, or you had a comfortable lead and it's gone. Like, Sam Hauser, I cannot believe that we are here, but like this team took a huge leap just by adding one extremely competent shooter and has changed the trajectory of their offense. And I didn't think it would be Sam Hauser. I thought it might be, you know, a bigger leap from Tatum or somebody, but like, this is, it's remarkable what has happened.
Or Gallo, had he been healthy?
That's the crazy thing too. Like, no Gallo. I bring up this line all the time. You think Gallinari knows who Wally Pipp is? Cause I don't think so. I think
Get a 2 year contract too. Like, he did. They're going to get in each other's way next year. Gallo's probably, he might never play in a Celtics uniform.
It's definitely something to talk about, for sure. Obviously not now, but, like, I don't know. Because that was supposed to be his role, and Hauser is...
It does. It's another one that the Celtics front office was like, we're going to be fine. We have Sam. And people are skeptical until you see it out there on the floor. And the Gallo thing is interesting. I thought about that, or I heard it on a podcast, I think yesterday, driving the shoot around, was that Sam fits almost better than Gallo would. Number one, because he's younger, so he's hungrier, you know, and defensively, he's still maturing and only going to improve. And so it is, he fits really well with this team, with that group in particular, like you said, because I mean, the space on the floor with that, with him in the corner, Grant in the corner, and then Jason Tatum and Malcolm Brogdon going to work. I mean, it doesn't matter who that fifth person is out there with them. And then with Sam in particular, I don't know. It's just, he's also really humble and like, but not afraid to assert himself and talk smack when it's necessary to. So like, he had a moment in the game before the Knicks, whoever that was, I need to look at my schedule, where he was just on fire hitting threes. And after one of them, he said, boom, not safe for work. And and maybe that was in the Knicks game. Afterwards in the locker room, Jason Tatum was like, yo, you need a celebration. Like, I know that's not going to be it because that's just not really who you are, Sam. But he does have that. He has that fire. He has that intensity inside him. And obviously that comes out on the court. And you knew he could make shots. The Celtics have drafted guys who can shoot. It's a matter of doing it when it matters in the game. And he can do that. He's proving that he can do that. And it's opened up a lot for them, particularly in those bench units.
I don't know how long it'll be the case, but a fun fact for people. Sam Hauser ranks second on the team, obviously beyond Jason Tatum, but second on the team in PER, player efficiency rating. That is how impactful he has been to start off this year so far.
I remember the other thing I was going to say was that Joe last night said, typically good shooters make good screeners. And when I asked Sam about that, he said, yeah, because if I screen someone, my defender has to stay with me, you know, so it gets the defense in motion because you can't let Sam Hauser go. Can't let him roam.
Don't let him get hot.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought during all the summer conversations of how do you replace Danilo Gallinari? Don't let Sam Hauser get hot.
It's amazing.
The thing, though, it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's
the real thing.
8-3, and I will say this for as long as it's the case, and maybe this comes to an end against the Nuggets and they suffer, you know, a real loss. And what I mean by that is this is a team that could be 11-0. You know, the two losses in overtime to the Cavs, and then one where they blew a 19-point lead in Chicago. They could very well be perfect right now. So I'm going to maintain that. I'm going to beat that drum until they suffer a real loss, like a loss that, all right, you know, you're just down by 10 or 15. You never quite recover and whatever. We all know what it looks like, but that is how good so far this team has been to begin the year. And it's had to be because as we know, the Eastern Conference is very, very deep and some teams that have started off very slow, like the Nets, like the Sixers are theoretically going to rebound and, you know, emerge and water will find its level and all of that. So pick up these wins while you can, obviously, because it's going to get more challenging. The schedule. And like I said, maybe
Denver's coming to town on Friday.
Yeah.
That could be rough. Jokic. So I'm curious to see how that goes.
It's good to have you back on the podcast, Abby.
For having me, guys. Anytime.
As long as you keep wearing Twist t-shirts.
4 or 5 months again.
You're I know. Right. I can't believe. I guess we were just nice. We let you enjoy your summer.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Tried to do our part. More time for Berenstain Bears reenactments. This show, once again, is powered by BetOnline.ag. Go to BetOnline.ag today. Use the promo code CLNS50 for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Abby, enjoy, and we will not make it 5 months. We will have you on here again, maybe even before the new year, and we look forward to it. And we'll talk fantasy basketball with you so much that you will either tire of it or say, man, I got to be part of that league next year.
What do you think people hate more? Talking about your own fantasy team or talk analogies about the Berenstain Bears?
That's toss up.
That's close. Yeah. And we're going to really digest that over the next week until we have our next show. We'll come back with an answer. For Evan, for Abby, I'm Adam. Thanks for being with us. This has been Celtics Beat. We'll see you later.